Good morning. We want to welcome those who are visiting today. We have several. It is a gift that we appreciate, the gift of your time and your attention. And our aim is to be an encouragement to you so that you leave here with gifts, the gift of knowing more about God and being encouraged to follow Him and understanding more about what He would have you to do in your life for Him. Which do you prefer? A dormant dead tree of winter or a blooming tree in the spring? Well, I know what your answer is to that, especially since spring is so slow coming. It is just barely creeping upon us. We understand that there is so much power and beauty in a blooming tree. But did you know that within that dormant, that dead tree, all the things that will blossom in warm weather are there? They're just not showing themselves. There is no beauty until it bursts forth. And so it is with our faith. We're involved in a series of sermons where we are working our way through the book of James, the letter of James in the New Testament. And the theme that we're looking at is where faith meets life. And in a way, this section that we're going to examine this morning is the core of the book. You could say that everything that has been said up to this point is leading to this big central point, and everything afterwards is just an elaboration of it. Today we're going to be looking at faith that works. Read with me James 2, verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was then also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. James begins with a question. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? James links together faith, works, and salvation here. And so it is appropriate for us to pull back and look from a broader New Testament perspective what the Bible teaches about faith, works, and justification. That's one of the Bible's expressions for the idea of being right with God. You're justified with God, which means you're saved. Do not other passages in the Bible teach that faith saves us, especially like in the writings of Paul? Well, indeed they do. Understand that James and Paul are not opposing each other. They are working from the same truth. They're just opposing different false ideas. Consider with me a text that really helps us to put all this together, and that is Ephesians, the second chapter. If you turn over there with me, in Ephesians, the second chapter, you see what Paul writes, which is very characteristic of the other things that he writes throughout the New Testament about salvation, where he says in Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 8, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Paul here, and in many places, writes that a person is justified before God by his faith in Christ, and that salvation is granted to us undeservingly. In other words, it comes by God's grace. We are saved by what God has done through Christ, which was offering Him up as the sacrifice for our sins. We are not saved by anything that we've done. Human beings cannot save themselves. Christ had to come to save us. And think about it, even regarding faith, where Paul writes on many occasions, including this, you're justified by faith or you're saved by faith. Even regarding faith, it is not us believing where the power of salvation is. The power of salvation is Christ. It's in His cross. It's in His death. It's in the shedding of His blood. It's just that when we believe upon Christ, believe upon the power of His cross, that's when we access that power. That power of salvation is in Christ. So even when we believe, it's all about Christ, because He is the one in whom we believe. But read on in this text, beginning again in verse 9, where he says, it's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then he says in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We all understand that for many, many centuries, when people wrote, they dipped a quill into ink. And you could only write so many words, and then you had to dip the quill again, and you would write a few words, maybe a line or two, and you dip the ink again. When Paul's being guided by the Holy Spirit to write this, almost as if before he has to dip the quill again, after saying we're saved by grace through faith, before he even has to dip the quill again, he says, we are created for good works. We're not justified by works, but we are created for good works. This is exactly what James is writing in James 10. You see, the outcome of true faith, the outcome of living faith, is good works. We are not justified by anything that we think or anything that we do, only by Christ. That's how we're justified before God. And as a result of that, God gets the glory for that. Christ gets the thanks for that. It's based on what God has done for us and what His Son has done for us. Yet there is access to that grace. And that access is through faith. And that faith, if it's true faith, and that faith, if it's living faith, is a faith that is working. It's alive. There are two erroneous views, and it's so interesting because you even see it in the days of Jesus, and even before the days of Jesus, and we've seen it through history, even up to the present time. There are two erroneous views that people swing this way and that way toward. One is that we are justified or saved by our own works. In other words, it is our accomplishment. God said, do this, this, and this. We go do it, and then we say, I did it. I did it. I did it. Aren't I great? We get the credit. It's not how we're made right with God. Because none of us have done it. None of us have kept completely what God has instructed us to do. We have sinned. But then the other erroneous and dangerous view is that since we are justified by grace, it does not matter how we live. That we are saved as a free gift of God, which means I'm not justified by works, which means I can work any way I want to work, and it does not matter, I'm still saved. That's a license to behave any way you want to behave. You see two messages over and over in the New Testament. One is about how to be saved. The other one is about how to live since you are saved. Well, if salvation is a gift, and the way we live once we receive this gift is of no relevance, then why the rest of all those teachings in the Bible that tells us how to live? It's of no consequence. What the New Testament teaches is that our salvation is by faith in Christ, who sacrificed Himself for us, and by that God poured His grace on us through Christ. But then when a person accepts Christ and appreciates that salvation and is devoted to that salvation and that Savior who saved them, then his or her life is changed. And the change is seen in new works. Good works. As Paul writes in Ephesians 2 verse 10, then we become His workmanship. Just like a master craftsman with a piece of wood or with clay or with stone, Christ takes us and creates something new out of us through good works. Thus, coming back to James, certain works should emerge within our lives when we're saved. When we have saving faith, there should be certain works. And we don't have to go very far, coming back to the book of James, to see what those are, because he's been talking about those works. Going back to the beginning of chapter 1, he talks about enduring when you are tested, when you have trials. He talks about heeding God's word. He instructs us to stay unspotted from the world, to put away filthiness. He teaches us to help the needy and be mindful of them. He teaches us, as we saw last week, to treat people without partiality, to love our neighbor. Those are good deeds. If we don't have these good works, James teaches in James 2, our faith is dead. There are four arguments that James makes regarding a living faith, and how that it's only a working faith is a living faith, and a faith that's not working is a dead one. Here are the statements. Like in verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So there's four pieces of evidence. First of all, ineffectiveness of words alone. I want you to think about that. Go in peace and be warmed. You know, go in peace. Real compassionately. Oh, go in peace. Be warmed. I mean, how's that sound? It sounds kind and nice and sweet and compassionate. What good does it do? There is no true compassion in only words. Sometimes words can be just a dodge to get out of doing what we really should do. Earlier translations say here in James 2, what profit is there if you're this way? I just love the English Standard where it says, very simply, what good is that? What good is that if you just say to somebody who needs food and clothing, oh, be warmed and filled? Does it do anybody any good? The other argument that he makes are the demons. You believe that God is one, he says in verse 19, you do well. Even the demons believe and even shudder. You see, mentally accepting there's a God. Oh, Jesus died for me. Jesus suffered to save me. I believe all that. Do you know who else believes that? Satan and all the demons. When Jesus was on earth and encountering people who were demon-possessed, on several occasions, you see this like in the Gospel of Mark, the demons actually identified Jesus. Oh, we know who you are. You're the Holy One come from God. The demons knew who He was. Are they saved? There's a very sad example of people who did this. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12. In John, chapter 12, a very sad example, where we read in verse 42 and 43 about people who believed. Isn't that enough? John 12 says in verse 42, nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in Him, speaking of Christ, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. These people believed. Would they not be justified? Would they not be entitled to the grace of Christ and the salvation of Christ? Is that what that text is teaching? Not at all. What good was their belief? What did it mean to Jesus? What difference did it make? None. Just because they believed, it had no impact. And then he gives the example of Abraham, this pioneer of faith. He is the model of faith. He is the one who was justified by faith. But this text says that he was justified by faith when he was called upon to do several things, like leave his homeland and go to a new land. But this most difficult of all things, to offer up Isaac at the sacrifice, which he was stopped from doing that. But he went through with it until the point he was stopped. And the text is teaching us that he acted out of his faith. And according to verse 22 and 21, faith was completed by his works. Faith was completed by his works, which means without working out your faith, without living your faith, without demonstrating your faith in action, your faith is incomplete. See, this text is telling us that the faith is dead, that faith is incomplete, and that faith is useless. Three things that James says in James 2. It's dead, it's incomplete, and it's useless unless it's working. And then he gives this example, Rahab, who was a woman with this past. But yet, when she heard of the Israelites coming upon Jericho, she understood that they were the people of God, and she came to believe in the God of the Hebrews as the God. And so she assisted the scouts, the spies that came in. She protected them and sent them another way to help them out. She believed and she acted, and in that she justified. And we read in the book of Joshua how that she became part of the Israelites after this. She joined among them, God's people. She was justified when she acted out of faith. What would have happened if she just stayed in her dwelling there in Jericho and said, "Ooh, there's the scouts of the Israelites. Ooh, the one true God is their God." And then just sat on her hands. She wouldn't have been justified. So think about it. Ask yourself the question. Is your faith living or dead? First of all, is it only about thoughts and words? Verse 16, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace and be warmed and filled," without giving them the things that are needed for the body, what good is that? The expression "talk is cheap" would be a very good little idea to associate with this text. Talk is cheap. That's so relevant when it comes to faith. For many people, religion is a talking game. It's a t-shirt game. It's a bumper sticker game. It's a Facebook post game. Wow, I just went from bumper stickers to Facebook. I'm sort of getting with it here with modern times. Some of you are thinking, what's a bumper sticker? It's not faith. Faith is not what you post. It's not even what you think. Faith is what you do based on what you think and what you profess. What good is it if we talk about how much we love the Lord and we don't show it? What good are the confessions and the promises and the requests that we make to God in prayer if we don't follow up on that action? What good are songs and prayers and the teaching that we have here in our assemblies if the truth and the hope that we speak of is never applied in how we live? We must all consider this very soberly and humbly, as painful as it may be. Do I talk a better game than I play when it comes to faith? Second of all, how better to communicate your faith than to show it? Verse 18, he says, you have faith and I have... Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith apart from your works. Can't do that. And he says, and I will show you my faith by my works. What's the point of the works here? To show faith. The point of the works... You know, this is both deep and it's simple at the same time. The point of the works is to show the faith. The point of the works is not to say, look how good and wonderful and perfect and holy and righteous I am. That's self-justification. The point of the works is to show what we believe, which then points people to who? Christ. It's all going back to Christ. But if you don't have the works, you can't see the faith. You can't see Christ. I will show you my faith by my works. We all are challenged, and it's understandable as Christians regarding how we communicate our faith to other people. And it is important, and there is a time and a place to verbally communicate the truth of the gospel, what we believe to other people. But that's challenging, looking for the right thing and the right thing, right time to say it. And sometimes that never happens. You just do the best you can. But oftentimes, in spite of our best efforts, people don't want to hear it. People don't want to have a dialogue about Christ. Well, there is one thing for sure that can affect other people. And that is a living faith, an active faith, a working faith. Even if someone will not engage us in conversation about God and the Bible and salvation, when someone sees our moral character of honesty and purity and integrity in action, they can see our faith. They can hear our faith. When someone sees us navigate hard times with trust in God, that points them to God. When someone sees us love others unconditionally through deeds, not in words, but in deeds. When people see this work in us, they can see and they can hear and they can be taught faith in Christ Jesus. You cannot visit Washington, D.C. and miss the Washington Monument. You cannot visit Paris, at least certain parts of the city, without seeing the Eiffel Tower. And if you're anywhere in the center part of London, you cannot miss Big Ben, the clock tower. When your faith produces works, people can't miss your faith. They can't ignore it. They can't turn a deaf ear to it. You can show them your faith by your works. And consider what James is teaching here when he uses these expressions like life, when he talks about showing something. What James is teaching here is that the power of faith is only unleashed when it works. If you have noticed, just off the toll road here, going westward, and you can see some of it here from Belmont Ridge, they have been working now for approximately, I think it's 2 years, on both a water treatment plant and a power plant powered by natural gas. They are very advanced, modern, the latest techniques. I read about it when it first came out because I was a little concerned because it was, you know, sitting distance from my house. But it's like the latest stuff. I mean, the most efficient power plant and water treatment plant and all this kind of thing. What good would those plants be if they never connected wires to the power plant and never connected pipes to the water plant? No good at all. If you don't get the power to the people and the water to the houses, it's no good at all. Working again from James' illustration about the needy person, what good is it if you have deep feelings and compassion and tenderness for somebody, but you don't act on it. What good is it if you believe everything the Scriptures teach and you're adamant that it's true, but you never obey what it says? If you truly believe, you have access to a power. A power inside of you. You need to let it out by acting on it. You need to unleash it by working to show that you believe in God and His Son and His Word. Put your faith in your life by works. That's a living faith. And if you don't, your faith is dead. It is useless. It is incomplete. We're going to sing another hymn here as Craig leads us. A song to encourage us all to think about what we believe, but more than that, and not just that, but also what we're doing with what we believe. If you have come to the point that not only do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, convinced of that truth, but you want to act on it. And you can obey the gospel of Christ today by turning from sin and confessing that faith without fear, not having the fear of the people of John 12, but confessing that you believe and then connecting and unifying yourself with Christ and His death by being baptized into Christ and being raised to a new life. And then you can begin to show what you believe, complete your faith, and live your faith. If you're prepared to make that commitment, we encourage you to let it be known by coming forward as we stand and sing.